Oh, wow. Can you hear now? All right. It's Thanksgiving month. We've been emphasizing that throughout the month. And 2 weeks ago, we zeroed in on thank you, God, for your creation. And we talked about all the wonderful things that are required for us to live here on the planet Earth. We looked at practical ways to thank God for everything and for our own bodies. And we tried to teach you to, as you go around, to say, good job, Lord, as you see what he has done in your life and in the lives of others and what he has created. As you go on a walk or whatever you do, good job, Lord. We're thankful for the Holy Spirit who helps us in all ways. He is the one the Lord has given to help us in every respect. And we talked about the 9 fruits of the Spirit and how the Holy Spirit helps us with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Today we want to look at thank you, God, for your plan. God has never been caught short. He has never been in a situation where he didn't know what to do next. No matter what mankind has done, God is always ready to take care of the situation as it comes to him. So, God loved, so he created man for fellowship. We want to, these are on the left-hand side. God loved, man sinned, God provided, God completes. And then we want to put it all together. God loved, so he created man for fellowship. Now, he had 1,000 angels and more than that, but that's not the kind of fellowship that he wanted. He wanted fellowship from man who would love him, care about what he has to say, and follow his teaching. Man sinned, and that kind of destroyed what God had in mind and destroyed that fellowship. God provided, he's never caught short, a plan to restore the fellowship, and God completes his plan in heaven. The plan is all about Jesus. Everything in God's perception is always all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what the scripture says in Genesis 1:27. I don't know if that's in here or not. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. What? He created what? Oh, no. Come on. Don't you understand that there are 72 genders? That's what we're told in the woke teaching. There are 72 genders. One of them is you can determine your gender depending upon the circumstances that you find yourself in. If your particular situation demands that you become a woman, then you become a woman. If it demands you become a man, beyond that, I don't know what you become, but there are 72 genders according to woke teaching. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Amen. God created man in his own image. That's traceable outline. That's what that word image means. We are traceable outline of the living God. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Genesis 1:27. There's no question in my mind about determining what gender you are. You're either male or female. You can say whatever you want about anything. You're still a male or a female. And that's not going to change. God saw that he had made what he had made, and the scripture says, he said, it's very good, especially when he created man. Very good, the scripture says. It all begins with God. God is in between, and it all ends with God. And God emphasizes his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful for that. According to scripture, as I mentioned a moment ago, God had all these angels who worshiped him. Of course, there was rebellion in heaven, and there were a lot of angels who came against God. So God created everything that he created, and he created it for us, for man, and we're thankful for that. All God wanted from man was a response of, yes, Lord, I love you. I'll follow what you say. I'll adhere to your teachings. I'll worship you in spirit and in truth. It's interesting when you think about Adam and Eve. They were in this great garden, and there were, I don't know how many trees there were, but I'm confident that every tree had very energetic, healthy fruits, nuts, vegetables. I can't even imagine what all those trees produced. But they could eat from any of them as much as they wanted. Must have been pretty good because they never got fat. But there was an adversary. There's always an adversary. And that adversary approached Eve and said, take a good look at this tree. Man, it's better looking than any of the other trees. It has fruit on it that is so much better than all the other trees. And besides, God lied to you. Did God really say you will die if you participate in the fruit of this one tree? You know, God said, have at every tree except one. One law. That's all you had to do. You could eat anything from all the other trees, but you were supposed to leave this one tree alone because it would destroy your relationship to God. In that glorious garden, one law. We're kind of interesting, aren't we? We can't even do one simple law. That's all God asked. Just one, not two, not one and a half, not three, just one. But she was beguiled. Boy, was she ever. The adversary came to her and said, you know, God really didn't mean what he said. Do you really think you'll die if you eat of this tree? This is great fruit. I mean, it's better than anything else in the garden. Just take a good long look at it, and she did. And the more she looked at it, the more desirous it was. She wanted it from every fiber of her being. She decided that it was the very best thing that there ever was. And so she took a big bite. God said, he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. That's what God said about the relationship with the serpent. The serpent was crafty. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" You see how clever Satan is? I wish I had time to tell you about Satan's teaching of the German people that caused them to kill 6 million Jews, maybe one of these days. So here's what Satan said: "You will not surely die. Forget what God said. You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened. You will be just like God, knowing good and evil." How sad. How sad that she was beguiled. And what's really sad is she gave a chunk to her husband, and that lunkhead took a bite of it instead of being a man and keeping her from going ahead. He participated in the whole situation. Too bad. Here's the bottom line. God's message was, mankind, you've sinned by breaking one simple rule. You will have to suffer. Why do you think we have tornadoes? Why do you think we have droughts? Why do you think we have disease? Why do you think all the stuff that we see in our world is a part of where we live? Because we go back right here. We call it the fall. And dear little Eve led the way for that. For God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. The message throughout Scripture is, man sins, but God forgives. He's never caught short. He knew what was going to happen, and he already had a plan to forgive man for what he was going to do and what he did. And we thank God for that. After 3,000 years, the time was right, and God fulfilled the plan through the Lord Jesus Christ when he went to the cross. As Jesus went to the cross, he crushed the head of the adversary. The adversary crushed his heel, but Jesus crushed his head. So we're thankful for that, even though it cost the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good, just to get it really in our minds for food, and pleasing to the eye, that's an interesting thought. Pleasing to the eye and desirable for gaining wisdom. We all want wisdom, but we want wisdom according to the way God gives wisdom, and that's according to the Word of God. This is the book that gives us wisdom. The Holy Spirit is certainly our helper, as we learned last week. She also gave to her husband, and he ate it, lunkhead. Then the eyes of both were opened and they realized, what? All of a sudden, they realized that they were naked. There was nothing wrong with nakedness up until this point. But now all of a sudden they were naked. And they were conscious of the fact that they were naked. And they tried to cover themselves up. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees. That's why we wear clothes. Started way back then. Started with a few leaves, but eventually it became much more than leaves. So, the ultimate victory, aside from what Adam and Eve did and brought about all this stuff that we experience today, the ultimate victory is what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished for us at the cross. Wow. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Salvation is found in no other one, for there is no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. That's in Acts, the 4th chapter, in the 12th verse. No one comes to the Father except through me, John 14, 6. No one comes to the Father except. People hate that verse of Scripture. But I have to believe what God says. God wasn't fooled here. Jesus answered, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. I just gave those verses. And they are so powerful. So powerful. God said, he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. And that's exactly what happened. This was God's plan. It was the first promise of a coming Savior. And how thankful we are today that that Savior did come. God took the greatest evil that was ever done to an innocent man, and he turned it into the greatest victory for us. Amen? Jesus willingly paid the price for your sins and mine. Wow. Wow. But this was only the beginning of the fulfillment of God's plan. The Bible, in particular the book of Revelation, tells us of the full completion of God's perfect plan. It's going to happen. Do not let your hearts be troubled. We can get troubled, can't we? We look out on this world. And we get troubled. There's killing. There's murder. There's all of these weather issues that we have to face. Where did they come from? They came because of the fall. So Jesus said to his disciples, they had to deal with the same kind of stuff. Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. That's a biggie, isn't it? It's easy for us to get troubled. Got a call last night from a couple who used to be in our congregation. Wayne and Brenda Yance. They're troubled. He had an examination, and the doctor said, Mr. Yance, your body is full of cancer. That's a little troubling. And so they are pleading for prayers. They're not the only ones. Every day we hear about people who have cancer or this or that. And yet Jesus said to his disciples who experienced the same kind of stuff, do not let your hearts be troubled. That is a biggie. How do you go through life with all that we have to face and don't let your heart be troubled? How do we do that? Trust in God. Remember, he sent the Holy Spirit to be our helper. We talked about that last week. Trust also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. In other words, Jesus is saying, I'm not going to lie to you. You're going to have plenty of trouble in this life, But I just want you to know that I'm preparing a place for you. And I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. I don't know where else we could be that there wouldn't be all of this trouble. But we're thankful that the Lord has already taken care of it, because God loves us. Man sinned, there's no question about that. God provided. He provided for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And God completely takes care of us when we close our eyes in death. The plan is all about Jesus. It's Jesus who created. It's Jesus who went to the cross. It's Jesus who was resurrected. It's Jesus to whom we go when we have difficulties, trials, and troubles. It all begins with God. It's all completed through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the whole point of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. My question is, do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? I'm not asking you, do you go to church regularly? I'm asking you, do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? That's what's important, to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So I want you to put this little thing in your mind. God loved. Man sinned. God provided. And God completes. That plan is all about Jesus Christ. There isn't anything that He hasn't taken care of on our behalf. No matter what we do, no matter what we say, no matter what we think, He takes care of us. 2,000 years have gone by, but it's still true. God loved, man sinned, God provided, God completes. There's a place for you in eternity. I was talking to a fellow pastor yesterday. He's been in the hospital so many times. He just got out. He had COVID and sepsis. That's not a very good combination, by the way. And he said, you know, heaven is looking better all the time. And I think God prepares us for that moment when He calls us home through all of these things that we go through, so that we understand how much God really cares for us. So this morning, can you remember that little outline? This week, God loved, man sinned, God provided, God complete. Boy, we have a wonderful God, don't we? And He's never caught short. He has a plan for us, even when my speaker doesn't work. So, thank God. So we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. We've got a lot to do yet afterwards. And we want to say thank you, Father, really from the bottom of our hearts. We're so blessed to be your children, gracious Father. And we lift our hearts before you as a token of our love. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let's sing that from the depths of our being.